Jesus is the designer and creator of the New Jerusalem. He is the creator of all things, the Bible says. Colossians 1:16 says of Jesus, "By Him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through Him and for Him." Praise you, Jesus. John 1:3 likewise says of our Lord Jesus, "All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made." Loved one, Jesus made it all.
Welcome to Your Place of Grace with Evangelist Anthony Sluzes. We're taking the message of salvation, Holy Spirit renewal, and healing through the finished work of Christ to the world by every available means. If you'd like more information about Your Place of Grace Ministries and our resources, visit yourplaceofgrace.com.
Hey there, my friend. This is Anthony Sluzes, and I welcome you to Your Place of Grace podcast. Today is the 12th and final installment in our series, Let's Talk Bible Prophecy. Today we talk about the new heavens and the new earth. Now, there are three heavens mentioned in Scripture. Yes, three. The Bible refers to three heavens. The first heaven is the earth's atmosphere. The second heaven is the stellar universe. The third heaven is the ineffable and glorious dwelling place of God in all His glory. The third heaven is elsewhere called the highest heaven. So, why will God destroy our present earth and universe? Because He will. After Adam and Eve sinned against God in the Garden of Eden, God placed a curse upon the earth, found in Genesis 3. Now, Romans chapter 8, verse 20 tells us that the creation was subjected to futility. So, before the eternal kingdom of glory is revealed, God must deal with this cursed earth. Indeed, the earth, along with the first and second heavens, the earth's atmosphere and stellar universe, they all must be destroyed by fire. The decay, death, and all other forms of evil will remain until the one who imposed the curse removes it and creates a new heaven and a new earth. The old must make room for the new. Amen? We must also remember that Satan has long carried out his evil schemes on earth. The earth must therefore be purged of all stains resulting from his extended presence. Satan will have no place in the new heavens and new earth. All evidence of his influence will be removed when God destroys the earth and the heavens. So is God's destruction of the present earth and heavens taught in both the Old and New Covenants? Absolutely yes. The destruction of the present heavens and earth is taught in both covenants, Old and New. Psalm 102, verses 25 and 26, for example, says, "Of the passing of the old earth and heavens, they will perish. They will all wear out like a garment. They will pass away." Isaiah 51:6 likewise says this, "Lift up your eyes to the heavens and look at the earth beneath. For the heavens vanish like smoke. The earth will wear out like a garment." And our Lord Jesus was well aware of this common Old Testament teaching, for He contrasted the temporal universe with His eternal word. He said, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but My words will not pass away." Let's look at what Peter says in 2 Peter 3, verses 7 through 13. He writes, "The heavens and earth that now exist are stored up for fire, being kept until the day of judgment. The day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done on it will be exposed. Since all these things are thus to be dissolved, what sort of people ought you to be in lives of holiness, godliness, waiting for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be set on fire and dissolved, and the heavenly bodies will melt as they burn. But according to his promise, we are waiting for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Hallelujah. Praise God. The good news is that although the present universe, which is stained by sin, will be judged and destroyed, God will create a new heaven and a new earth for us to dwell in forever. Oh, it's going to be glorious. Praise God. So in what way will the heavens and earth be made new? The Greek word in the New Testament used to designate the newness of the cosmos. Let's get our words straight. The words for cosmos is kainos. The Greek word means new in nature, new in quality. So the phrase new heavens and a new earth refers not to a cosmos that is totally other than the present cosmos. No, rather the new cosmos will stand in continuity with the present cosmos, but it will be utterly renewed and renovated. So in keeping with this, Matthew 19:28 speaks of the new world. Acts 3:21 speaks of a coming restoration. All this means that a resurrected people will live in a resurrected universe. Hallelujah. The new heavens and new earth, like our newness in Christ, will be regenerated, glorified, free from the curse of sin and eternal. The new earth, being a renewed and eternal earth, will be adapted to the vast moral and physical changes that the eternal state necessitates. Everything is new in the eternal state. Everything will be according to God's own glorious nature. The new heavens and new earth will be brought into a blessed conformity with all that God is, in a state of utter bliss and absolute perfection. Will we live forever on the new earth? Yes. Yes, we will. And it's going to be glorious. In the next life, heaven and earth will no longer be separate realms as they are now, but they will be merged. Believers will continue to be in heaven even while they are on the new earth. The new earth will be utterly sinless, bathed and just suffused in the light and splendor of God, unobscured by evil of any kind or tarnished by evildoers of any description. Heaven will encompass the new heaven and new earth. And the new Jerusalem, the eternal city that measures 1,500 by 1,500 by 1,500 miles, will apparently come down and rest upon the newly renovated earth. Hallelujah. The city will be the eternal dwelling place of the saints of all ages. Now, does this mean that heaven, the heaven we inhabit in the eternal state, will it be expanded from what heaven is today? Yeah, apparently so. Many theologians believe that the term heaven we presently use of God's perfect domain will one day include the new heavens and new earth. You know, we might say that heaven will one day include the entire redeemed and resurrected universe. In that day, the prophecy of Isaiah 65:17 will be fulfilled. Behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former things shall not be remembered or come to mind. Oh, indeed, as Psalm 9:6 puts it, the wicked will come to an end, and the very memory of them will perish. And this is what John describes in Revelation 21, verses 1 through 5. He said, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. And he who was seated on the throne said, 'Behold, I am making all things new.'" Oh, my brother, my sister, we really have a cause to rejoice. Hallelujah. We are destined for new heavens and a new earth. Praise God. Praise God. I'm excited. I don't know about you. Praise God. So let's talk about this New Jerusalem. Will the New Jerusalem be a physical city? Yes, I'm sure of it. I do not take any references to this city to be symbolic of some kind of spiritual twilight zone, you know, where believers somehow just float around in spiritual fellowship with God. No, rather, I take the New Jerusalem to be a literal city, a place where real resurrected people and a holy God will dwell together. A city has dwellings, order, government. It has bustling activity, various kinds of gatherings, and much, much more. There's no warrant for taking the descriptions of the New Jerusalem in Scripture as merely symbolic. Every description we have of the New Jerusalem in the Bible implies a real place of residence. And this makes sense in view of the fact that you and I will have eternal and physical resurrection bodies. People with physical bodies must live in a physical place, amen? And that physical place will be, hallelujah, the New Jerusalem. Let's look at Revelation 21. And I love this. This is the description of the New Jerusalem. It says, "I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband, having the glory of God, its radiance like a most rare jewel, like a jasper, clear as crystal. It had great high wall with 12 gates, and the gates, at the gates, 12 angels, and on the gates, the names of the 12 tribes of the sons of Israel were inscribed. On the east 3 gates, on the north 3 gates, on the south 3 gates, on the west 3 gates, and the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the 12 names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. The wall was built of jasper, while the city was pure gold, clear as glass." Hallelujah. "The foundations of the wall of the city were adorned with every kind of jewel, and the 12 gates were 12 pearls, each of the gates made of a single pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, like transparent glass. And the city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light. And its lamp is the Lamb, Jesus. And its gates will never be shut by day, and there will be no night there." Oh, hallelujah. The eternal city could either be, as the Bible describes it, it could either be cube-shaped or possibly pyramid-shaped. And there are good Christian scholars on both sides of this discussion. Some prefer to consider it shaped as a pyramid, for this would explain how the river of water, of the river of the water of life, could flow down its sides as pictured in Revelation 22. Other scholars prefer to consider it shaped as a cube, for the Holy of Holies in Solomon's temple was cube-shaped. And so, a cubical shape of the New Jerusalem might be intended to communicate that this eternal city is likened to a Holy of Holies throughout all eternity. This heavenly city, the New Jerusalem that comes down from heaven onto earth, measures approximately 1,500 miles by 1,500 miles by 1,500 miles. Wow. Though some interpret these big numbers symbolically, allegedly, carrying the idea that saved people are never crowded, I think the dimensions are intended to be taken literally. The Eternal City is so huge that it will cover approximately the distance from Canada to Mexico and from the Atlantic Ocean to the Rockies. That is a surface area of 2.25 million square miles. By comparison, London is only 621 square miles. Put another way, the ground level area of the city will be 3,623 times that of London. The city is tall enough that from the Earth's surface it could reach about 1/159th of the way to the moon. If the city has stories, each being 12 feet high, then the city would have 660,000 stories. Oh, that is huge. A city that large might seem just a formidable challenge to those traveling within its boundaries. We must not forget, however, that our resurrection bodies will have amazing capabilities. Some expositors believe that our new bodies will have the ability to fly and get places fast. Wow, that would be exciting. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm really excited by the whole prospect of being with Jesus forever in this new Jerusalem, this new heaven and earth. Hallelujah. Praise God. For time's sake, we're going to cut this a little short today. But I do pray that these teachings on the end times will be a blessing to you and a source of encouragement and a source of excitement and anticipation as we anticipate Jesus' return for us, his family. So what kind of things will never be found in the New Jerusalem? In heaven, we will have resurrection bodies with no sin nature. Satan and demons will be quarantined away from our presence forever. And we're going to live a perfectly holy life in a perfectly holy environment. A natural consequence of this wondrous state of affairs is that many things will be foreign to our experience in heaven. Let me give you just a following sampling, okay? We will never have to confess a wrongdoing again. Because there's no sin in heaven, and that would make confession unnecessary. We will never experience guilt or shame or any other action. Again, there's no sin in heaven that would bring guilt. We will never have to repair our homes or any other items. Nothing runs down in heaven, does it? We will never have to defend ourselves before others, because relationships will be perfect in heaven. Loved one, listen, we will never have to apologize. Again, all relationships perfect in heaven. Our actions will be focused on others instead of ourselves. In heaven, we will never feel isolated or lonely. There will be a perfect expression of love between all the redeemed in heaven. We will never have to go through rehabilitation. We will remain whole and healthy for all eternity. There will never be any addictions of any kind. We will never be depressed or discouraged, bummed out. We will perpetually enjoy the abundant life in heaven. We will never become tired or worn out in heaven, because our resurrection bodies will be strong and never need recuperation. There will never be an offense given or received in heaven. All our words will be void of sin and full of grace. We will never experience envy or jealousy in heaven. Our love for others will be utterly complete and perfect, with no unwholesome emotions. We will never experience infidelity in heaven, dear one. The golden rule will predominate in heaven. There is no sinful behavior in heaven. Faithfulness will be a hallmark of heaven. We will never again lust after another person. Our hearts will be pure with no sin whatsoever. Praise God. We will never experience a misunderstanding with other people. No relationships will ever be broken in heaven. We will never have any sense of deprivation. We will never have to earn money or worry about having enough money to survive. We'll have an abundance of all we need in heaven. There will be no wars or bloodshed in heaven. The sinful attitudes that give rise to wars will be non-existent in heaven. Oh, there's so many other wonderful things I could mention here. The main point is that the absence of all these and many other negative things will contribute immensely to our sense of joy and well-being in heaven. We can't even begin to imagine how wonderful it's going to be. Hallelujah! So is Jesus the designer and creator of the New Jerusalem? We're going to close with this. Yes, indeed he is. Jesus is the designer and creator of the New Jerusalem. He is the creator of all things, the Bible says. Colossians 1:16 says of Jesus, "By him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him." Praise you, Jesus. John 1:3 likewise says of our Lord Jesus, "All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made." Loved one, Jesus made it all. Our solar system, our galaxy, and the other galaxies that are staggering distances from each other. It's an awesome thing to ponder. The same Jesus who created the entire universe is creating the New Jerusalem for you and for me, dear one. Won't you come to him today? If you don't know him as Savior and Lord, please don't waste another moment of your precious life on foolish things, on sinful things, but come to Jesus right now. Come running to him. If you've blown it, dear one, if you've blown it and sinned terribly, don't run from Jesus, but run to him. Do it now. Do it with me. Let's pray together. Open your heart and pray this prayer with me to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and Lord, and I promise you, your life will never be the same. Let's pray. Repeat after me, and with all your heart. Dear God in heaven, yes, pray with me. Dear God in heaven, I come to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Please forgive me for the way I have lived and for the things I have done, Lord. Cleanse me with your precious blood from all my sin and unrighteousness. With my mouth, I confess the Lord Jesus, and in my heart, I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead, and he is alive. This very moment, I accept Jesus Christ as the Savior of my soul, and I make him Lord of my life. And according to God's word, which cannot lie, I am now washed, I am cleansed, I am forgiven, I am healed, I am born again. And I thank you, my God and my Savior. I love you, Lord, and I praise you. And Jesus, I will live for you and serve you all the days of my life. In your holy name I pray. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Oh, loved one, you are now a citizen of heaven. Your life has changed for the better. You are my brother and sister in Christ. And I welcome you to the family of God. Please contact me through my website, yourplaceofgrace.com. And just hit that contact tab and send me a short email and say, "Tony, I prayed that prayer with you. And yes, Jesus is now my Savior and Lord." If you do that, I will rejoice with you. I'll send you a word of encouragement. I will pray for you. And furthermore, I will send you a free resource through the mail, postage paid, to help you get started in your new walk with Jesus. Hallelujah. I love you guys, and I pray for you weekly. And I thank you for listening to this series on prophecy, end time events, and I pray it was a blessing to you. And if you would, if this podcast is a blessing to you, please pray about going to our website, yourplaceofgrace.com, and clicking on that donate tab and sow your very best seed to help us reach more and more people throughout the world with the good news of Jesus Christ. Thank you so much, dear ones. And until we meet again, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord have a smiling countenance toward you, and may he grant you peace, protection, prosperity, joy unspeakable and full of glory. May he grant you laughter and unconditional love within your marriage, family, home, relationships, and may God give you and grant you favor and great blessing everywhere you step foot, all the days of your long, long life. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Thank you so much for listening to Your Place of Grace with Anthony Sluzes. We trust the podcast was a blessing to you. If you'd like more information about our ministry, resources, testimonials, and to schedule Anthony to speak at your event, go to yourplaceofgrace.com.